Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Jade, minister of the 12th hour, apostolic Sabbatarian congregation of the 12th hour, in Elgin, Texas. Today is June 28th, 2023. It is the 11th day of the 4th month, 2027. We will start our first service day of the song. Rock of Ages, cliff for me. Rocks of Ages, cliff for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side with snow be a sinner, double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Let my tears forever flow. Let my zeal no languor know. Those for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, then my eyes shall close in death. When I rush to worlds unknown and behold beyond thy throne, Rock of Ages, lift for me. Let me hide myself in thee. 12 symbolic code number 1. Name of our sermon is the chronological order and explanation of some of the Isaiah's chapters. I want to start with the sermon selected for this issue of the symbolic code. It was delivered by the Brother V.T. Hallifer on March the 14th and June the 30th of 1942. Prayer thought. For the message we have to bear is not a message that men need cringe to declare. They are not to seek to cover it, to conceal it, its origin and purpose. For its advocates must be men who will not hold their peace day nor night, as those who have made solemn vows to Yahweh and who have been commissioned as the messengers of the Yahshua, as the stewards of the mysteries of the grace of the Yahweh. We are under obligation to declare faithfully the whole counsel of the Yahweh. We are not to make less prominent the special truths that have separated us from the world and made us what we are, for they are fraught with the eternal interest. For Yahweh has given us light in regard unto the things that are now taking place in the last remnant of time. And with the pen and voice we are to proclaim the truth unto the world, not in a tame, spiritless way, but in the demonstration of the spirit and power of the Yahweh. The mightiest conflicts are involved in the furtherance of the message, and the results of its promulgation are of the moment to both heaven and earth. For the controversy between the two great powers of the Yahweh and evil is soon to be ended. Really, to the time of its close, there will be continual and sharp contest. We should now purpose, as did the Daniel and his fellows in the Babylon, that we will be true unto the principle, come what may. for the flaming fiery furnace heated 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heated, did not cause these faithful servants of the Yahweh to turn aside from the allegiance unto the truth. For they stood firm in the time of the trial and were cast into the furnace, and they were not forsaken of the Yahweh. For the form of the fourth was thin, walking with them in the flame, and they came forth not having even the smell of fire upon their garment. Today the world is full of the flatterers and dissimulators, but Yahweh forbid that those who claim to be guardians of the sacred truth shall betray the interest of the Yahweh's cause through the insinuating suggestions and devices of the enemy of all righteousness. There is no time now for the ranging of ourselves on the side of the transgressors of the Yahweh's law, to for the seeing with their eyes, to hear with their ears, and to understand with their perverted senses. We must press together. We must labor to become a unit, to be holy in life and pure and charity, that those who profess to be servants of the living Yahweh no longer bow down to the idol of men's opinion, no longer be slaves unto any shameful lust, no longer bring a polluted offering to the Yeshua, a sin-stained soul. Testimonies to the ministers at 470. Our study for the day is taken from several chapters in Isaiah, particularly chapters 12, 13, and 14. Some of these chapters contain prophecies which are illustrated by the certain experiences of the ancient peoples and nations which at some time were to be repeated. We shall now commence our study with only a brief review of what we have already found in the chapters 7 and 8, because our time is limited and you are all more or less familiar with it. First is mentioned the history of the ancient Israel unsuccessfully confederating with Assyria against Judah, for they could not prevail against her. Instead, both were taken by the Assyria. Then follows the prophecy of the birth of the Emmanuel. Since, however, Yahshua was born long after the kings of Israel and Assyria were taken, it is obvious from verse 16 of chapter 7 that a circumstance was to occur at some time that would be the antitype at the confederacy which took place anciently between Israel and Assyria against Judah, and that in this antitypical period both kings represented by Assyria and Israel would be taken by a power represented by the Assyrian before the Emmanuel would know the difference between good and evil. Since, has already been pointed out, Yahshua, Emmanuel, did not live in the time of such a confederacy, for it must be that not only Israel, Syria, and Assyria are types, but the Yahshua himself is also a type. For we learn that the Emmanuel, meaning Yahweh with us, could represent only his true followers, a born again Christian. Now, I think this is should be looked at, the statement I just read about Emmanuel, meaning Yahweh with us, the Father. The Yahweh sent his son Yahshua, and he put his spirit in his son Yahshua. Now his son is here on earth, and his son has servants, and they also have Yahweh's spirit in them. Now, Yahweh with us, the Father, to me would be His spirit within me, like it says there in Ephesians 3:16. Yahweh has put His spirit in the inner man, so that they know how to understand and comprehend all things, even comprehend what passes the love of Yahshua His Son. Let's look at that a little bit stronger. We learn that in Emmanuel, meaning that Yahweh is with us, could represent only His true followers, the born again, apostolic believers, and a typical apostolic believer. Through these scriptures and historical facts, we learn that the antitype of the Israel and Syria's confederacy took place commencing in the 1st century A.D. when one part of the apostolic believers, Israel, federated with the pagans, Assyria, against the other apostolic sect of the Jews. But their combined church-state power was broken by the Protestant nations of Syria after the Emmanuel, as the born-again Christians here came, but before they had advanced in the truth far enough for the knowing how to choose between the good and evil and bestow the younger Christians represented by the second son, Mehoshalah Hasbaz of chapter 8, had progressed enough to know their father and their mother, the church. Now, Mehoshalah Hasbaz, he was the oldest firstborn son of Isaiah. Another son born named Emmanuel, born to Isaiah. He was the second son born. And I looked at that page, there's a typographical error there. Where it says that after Isaiah mentions the ancient historical confederacy and then the son of the Emmanuel, which we have just reviewed and applied and to the experience of the early church history, Isaiah 8:9 warns against another association of peoples, saying that this confederacy will likewise surely fail and fail to fall to pieces. And for us, this is the main lesson in these chapters. We are instructed as to what to expect and what to do about it. For the period we are now in is antitypical Assyria. The Assyrian period is about to pass away, and the period of Babylon to be ushered in. But there is another thing that is to happen between the setting up of the confederacy of the Isaiah 8:9 and the rise of Babylon. It is the setting up of the Yahweh's kingdom. Okay, so the Yahweh's people are to be taken unto their own land and made free. In the outlining of the chapters, we find this order, for the 7th chapter brings the birth of the apostolic believers of the Nazarene creed, and the Federation against them. For the 8th chapter, turns into the Latter-day Confederacy of the people and nations, and the outcome of it, as the 9th and 10th chapters contain, a continuation of the antitypical period of the Assyria and her fall. The 11th chapter brings the setting up of the kingdom of the Yahweh. For the 12th chapter expresses the praise of those in Zion and the kingdom. The 13th chapter brings the burden of Babylon. Recently, you recall, we studied the 10th chapter of the Isaiah and found that this chapter brings us into the time and the period of the antitypical Assyria that the commentary is in. We might naturally expect Babylon to follow next, because that period comes after the fall of Assyria. That is not correct, for the Assyrians kingdom must also come at its proper time. That is the child of the people when they are becoming mature, born again Christian. The burden of Babylon, therefore, is not mentioned until the 13th chapter of Isaiah. Now we may ask ourselves, why the symbolization of the government of Yahweh's kingdom as given in Isaiah 11 is in the form of the rod and the branch and the root. Other figures might have been used that would be just as fitting, but Yahweh chose these. Why? It must be noticed that the 11th chapter starts with the word and. That is a conjunction, showing that it is a continuation of the 10th chapter. Now let us read Isaiah 10, verse 33 and 34. Behold the Yahshua of the host, this is the Son of Yahweh, shall lop the bough with terror, and the high ones of the stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humble, and he shall cut down the thickest of the forest with the iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. For the people are illustrated as trees. The Yahshua is first to take out the people, clean the land, and then a branch shall stand. In other words, one set is to be taken out completely, and a new set is to stand in its place. For the land of our fathers, Palestine, then will be clean from all wicked and wickedness, and Yahshua's people will be there with the Yahshua's people and influence ruling over them. You see then that these chapters are arranged in the correct order and put in. The other times it can be said that when the association of the Isaiah 8 is urged, the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13 is about to pass off the other period, off, and the other period represented by the scarlet-colored beast of the Revelation 17 is about to come on the stage of the action. With the fall of Assyria, the land of promise is also prepared for the Yahweh's people to come and there set up a place for those who are to be called out of Babylon. to come where there are neither sin nor sinners. That was Yahweh's plan. For the rest of chapter 11, they describe the condition of the Yahweh's kingdom and the way his people are brought there, and continuing on with the praise of the righteous in the kingdom. Chapter 12 commences with the word, and let us read through this chapter and make a few comments as we proceed. Isaiah 12:1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Yeshua, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. In the church purified, in the Yahshua's kingdom, here described in the preceding chapter about the Yahweh's people with the praise, that will praise him, though he has been angry with them. But the Yahshua's people will praise him, though he had been angry with them. When was he angry with them? When he had to use the Gentile nation to disperse them because of their rebellious and idolatrous ways. Rebellious and idolatrous ways. That old idolatry has always been a problem. When they are brought back into their kingdom, when they are brought back and to the kingdom, and are comforted, then they will understand all of Yahweh's dealings and will praise him for it. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, Yahweh is my Yahshua the Son is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid, for the Yahshua is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation by virtue of his blood that he shed on the cross, creating the blood of the everlasting covenant in the new and living way in the New Testament by his death on the cross. This is the testimony Yahweh's people will bear in his kingdom. Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with the joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now the Yahshua speaks when the Yahweh's people are safely and peaceably situated in the land of the promise, and they hear the testimony of the faith and trust in the Yahweh. Then the Yahweh says that they with joy shall draw water, truth, out of the wells of salvation. Isaiah 12:4. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Yahweh, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. For the 144,000 will do this very thing when they go unto all the nations. Isaiah 12:5. Sing unto Yahshua, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. All the earth is to know of the Yahshua's excellent thing. Isaiah 12 says, cry out and shout thou in heaven of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. For 144,000 on the Mount of Zion with the Lamb will cry out and shout for the joy. How plain it is that Yahweh is about to do a great thing in the earth that all will know about. Because this message came, we were unable, before this message came, we were unable for the place in all of these events, but how clear they are now. We already learned that with the fall of the Assyria, Yahshua the Son sets up his kingdom, and then Babylon comes on the stage of the action. Therefore, the burden of the Babylon is mentioned in the next chapter, which we shall now study. Isaiah 13, verse 1 and 2. for the burden of the Babylon, which Isaiah, as the son of Amos did see, lift you up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. And the presenting of the burden of the Babylon, Yahweh first commissions his own people to lift up a banner, meaning that they are to make known what they have. They are to exalt the voice or message by the letting it be for them what it ought to do. Yahweh's people hunt for them are to do this for those in Babylon, who will constitute the great multitude of the revelation, 7-9, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. The Bible declares that it is at the Mount Zion where the nobles will be. Gates and nobles will indicate territory and rulers, showing that Yahweh's kingdom at that time is in the existence, and it is this kingdom that the sincere will go when they leave Babylon, the world, in the time of the image of the beast. Isaiah 12:6, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Yahshua is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of us. For the 144,000 down on the Mount Zion with the Lamb will cry out and shout for the joy. How plain it is that the Yahweh is about to do a great thing in the earth that all will know about before this message came. We were unable to place all of these events, but how clear they are now. We already learned that with the fall of the Assyria, Yahshua, the Son, sets up his kingdom, and then Babylon comes on the stage of the action. Therefore, the burden of the Babylon is mentioned in the next chapter, which we shall now study. Isaiah 13:1-2. Okay, it says Isaiah 13:1-2. For the burden of the Babylon that the Isaiah, the son of the Amos, did see, lift you up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt a voice unto them. Shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. And the presenting of the burden of the Babylon, Yahweh's first commission, his own people, to lift up a banner, meaning that they are to make known what they have. They are to exalt a voice or message by letting it do for them what it ought to do. Yahweh's people, 144,000, are to do this for those in Babylon, who will constitute the great multitude of the revelation, 7-9, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. The Bible declares that it is at the Mount Zion where the nobles will be. Gates and nobles but indicate territory and rulers, showing that Yahweh's kingdom at that time is in the existence, and it is this kingdom that the sincere will go when they have Babylon, the world, in the time of the image of the beast. Isaiah 13:3, I have commanded my sanctified one. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. For the two groups are here mentioned. Number one, his sanctified one, his sanctified ministry. And number two, his mighty ones as the unfallen angels. In the other words, he is here telling us that he is recruiting his church and his angels for his anger. Isaiah 13:4, for the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, as a tumultuous noise of the kingdom of the nations gathered together, the Yeshua of the host, that's the Son, musters the host of the battle. Joel, speaking of this event, says that the heathen will be brought to the valley of the Jehoshaphat, where the Yahshua is afterward to judge them. When this happens, it is the great day of the Yahshua, Isaiah 13:5. For they come from a far country, from the end of the heaven, even of the Yahshua and the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole land. For the Yahshua also comes. That's the Son. We have seen in these first five verses of the chapter the description of the Yahweh's army, which is to destroy the whole land. Isaiah 13:6. How ye, for the day of Yahshua is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. For the day of the Yahshua is at hand. And the Yahshua is telling you and me to howl even now because of it. People can know only what they are told. Therefore the command comes to howl, for a certain destruction is coming. It is at hand. Isaiah 13:7-8. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take the hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that is travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flame. For a great and sudden surprise is coming to the nation, and all who are unbelievers shall faint. For the great day of the Yahweh shall suddenly bring trouble and destruction that they are not expecting. Isaiah 13:9. Behold, the day of Yahshua cometh, cruel, both with the wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the day of the Yahshua is at hand, to lay the land desolate, and to destroy the sinners out of it. Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of the heaven, the constellations thereof, shall not give their light, for the sun shall be darkened, and his going forth, and the moon shall not tarry for a light to shine. This verse is a sign that are to precede the final great day of the Yahshua, Isaiah 13:11-12. And I will punish the world for the evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the hardiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of the Ophir. At this time Yahweh's people will be without a God and perfect in his sight. Therefore more precious than fine gold. Isaiah 13:13-14. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Yahshua of the host, that's the Son, and in the day of his fierce anger. And shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn unto his own people, and flee every one into his own land. Mm-hmm. Every man turning unto his own people and fleeing into his own land does not mean that they will migrate to their native land. It shows a separation in which every man must choose whether he will go to the land of the righteous and be with the righteous people, or whether he will choose to dwell in Babylon, where, according to Zephaniah, all wickedness is to be carried. Isaiah 13:50. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. It will indeed be a terrible, a cruel day for those in Babylon. Isaiah 13:16. For the children also shall be dashed into pieces. Before their eyes their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. This is the work of the wicked men, and happens when finally the ten horns of the Revelation 17:16 shall destroy Babylon the Great. Isaiah 13:17. Behold, I will strip the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. What happened to the ancient Babylon is a type of what is to happen to modern Babylon. The horns or heathen nations will destroy her. Her gold and silver will be of no consequence unto them. Isaiah 13:18-19. For their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of their womb. Their eyes shall not spare children and Babylon, the glory of the kingdom, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when Yahweh overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Babylon will never rise again. Isaiah 30:20, it shall never be inhabited. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch a tent there. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. If Babylon, the woman on the beast of Revelation 17, is to extend over much of the earth, and earth in prophecy is the United States location, and at her fall is to be left with no inhabitant, it would suggest that the period of the millennium, it is true that when the millennium begins, the whole world goes down. But that is not in the period of Babylon. The millennium comes after the falling of the plagues and the wrath of Yahweh. The verse we are now studying is talking about Babylon as the ancient capital city of the Babylon fell in the type, and is not in the existence today. Therefore, in the antitype, whether modern Babylon, whatever modern Babylon is, her capital city is likewise to come down. Isaiah 13:21-22. But the wild beast of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of a doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Elsewhere in the message, it teaches that Babylon was ruled but 1 hour. And this verse says that her time will not be prolonged. We have come to the end of the 13th chapter, and the next verse starts with the word for, indicating that it is a continuation of the 13th chapter. Isaiah 14:1. For the Yeshua will have mercy on the Jacob, and will yet choose Israel and sit them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave unto the house of Jacob. So Yahweh is doing this all because of his mercy on Jacob, the two kingdoms, the kingdom of Yahweh and the kingdom of Babylon. For the Yahweh, of course, will destroy the latter and save the former forever. So Yahweh will have mercy on Jacob and Israel and accept them in their own land, Palestine. Heaven should not be their own land yet, for Jacob and Israel have never been there. Moreover, if this were speaking of the period on the other side of the millennium, it could not speak only of the house of Jacob, for that would exclude Abraham and all the righteous who lived before him. And what strangers could be joined to the house of Jacob after the millennium? None. It is clearly evident from all these facts, therefore, that this verse applies before the millennium, before the close of the probation, and that the strangers that are to join the house of Jacob could be only the Gentiles, which will constitute the great multitude of Revelation 7:9 and Isaiah 66:20. Isaiah 14:2, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Yashir for the servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. This verse hardly needs explanation, for it plainly tells us that those who will then be taken as captives will be under the rulership of those over whom they formerly ruled. Isaiah 14:3-4, and it shall come to pass in the day that the Yashir shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? And the day that the Jacob's bondage under the Gentiles is ended, and the day that the strangers have joined themselves unto Jacob, and that day Jacob will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Isaiah 14:5-20. For the Yashir hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth, for the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing, yes, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no fellow has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming, for it stirreth up the deed of the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nation. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, for the worm is spread under thee, and the worms covered it. Art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yahweh. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall never look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prison? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in the burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. For the ancient king of the Babylon is called Lucifer, because Babylon is an institution of the devil. Isaiah 14:21, prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land, and I fill the face of the world with the cities. Babylon's expectations of what they will do will fall and reverse the destruction upon themselves, just as the human gallows at last was the instruments of his own destruction. Isaiah 14:22-25, for I will rise up against them, saith the Yahshua of the host, and cut off from the battle the name and the remnant, and the son and nephew, saith the Yahshua. I will also make it possess a possession for the bittering and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the beast of destruction, saith the Yahshua of the host. Yahshua the host has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountain, tread him underfoot, then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. Why is Assyria brought in at this point, when all through the chapter it has been talking about Babylon? For the reason, let us read the next verse, Isaiah 14:26. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For Yahweh is here telling us that what he will do with Assyria, he will also do unto Babylon, for he declares that he will surely do it, and we must not doubt it, just as Yahweh was able to lead his people into the land of the promise anciently, so he can now also today lead his people back and take them and take from them their yoke, and make of them a nation that shall never be given to other people, but which will stand forever. Isaiah 14:27. For the Yahshua the host, because that's the Son, hath purpose, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Who is able to tear down his purpose? His hand already is stretched out to do it, and none has power to turn it back. No one can stop it now. Isaiah 14:28. In the year that the king Ahaz died, was this burden. This is the time Isaiah saw this burden. Isaiah 14:29. Rejoice not thou, whole Palestinian, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. Here the subject again changes. This time, to Palestine, the promised land. Anciently, the rod that smote Palestine was Israel. who came into the land and became a nation of his own, that because of her disobedience, Israel was broken down and scattered and has remained so to this day. For this verse tells Palestinians, however, not to rejoice over Israel's broken condition, because something worse is coming upon Palestinians. For we read this in Isaiah 14:30, and the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill thy root with the famine, and he shall slay the remnant. It is the firstborn of the poor that shall feed and live in safety, and the Palestinian, and Yahweh says that he will kill with famine the root of the heathen that are now planted there, and the remnant will he slay. He is early to clean out the land of the heathen that are there and give it unto his people. Isaiah 14:31. How, O gate, cry, O city, thy whole Palestine are dissolved. For there shall come from the north a smoke, and a man shall be alone in his appointed time. Palestine is to be completely dissolved. Through our study of the Bible, we have come to expect the heathen to be dissolved out of the Palestinian and the Assyrian period. For the whole Palestinian are dissolved, for there shall come from the north a smoke. Smoke does not creep along the surface of the ground, but travels through the air. And as the smoke comes from the north, the phrase suggests that the aerial attack will be waged against her from the north and pass on to the south. It will mean that those who now possess Palestine will lose out the last phase, and none shall be alone in his appointed time. Means that they will not be alone, for others will be with it in his appointed time. Isaiah 14:32. What shall one then answer to the messengers of the nation? That the Yahshua hath founded Zion. That's Mount Zion, the 12th hour. That's who we are. Tabernacle of David has been raised up by Yahshua himself in the land of the Palestine, Israel today. And the poor of his people shall trust in him. This tells how the Mount Zion, the 12th hour, is going to be founded, that the Yahshua is to accomplish it. From all appearances, it looks as though we are very, very close to the fulfillment of these prophecies. Only one thing hinders it, and that is that we have not finished our work. Had we taken the message of the warning to the church, this could all have been finished by now, for the nations are all ready. For the hour will hold it until we get our work done. Another thing that is certain is that it is for our good, whatever happens and whosoever wins, if we are followers of the Yahweh in the Spirit and in the truth. This strange universe says this hour, contact us at the 11th hour, calling us number 11, clicking on our audio archive, we're going to close now this. The Pearly White City. There's a holy and beautiful city, whose builder and maker is Yah. Comes forth descending from heaven, when pathless exile they trod. As our massive wall is the jasper, the city's surface pure gold. And when my patient head is folded, all I shall his glory behold. In that bright city, holy white city, I have a mansion, a heart, humanity can so come in down. No sin is allowed in this city, and nothing defiling her nor me. No pain and no sickness can enter, no crape on the door not is seen. Her sorrows and cares are forgotten, no tempter is there to ignore. No parting was ever spoken, there's nothing to hurt and destroy. In the Frost City, Holy White City, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I'm watching with pain and longing. Oh, the White City comes all coming down. No heartaches are known in that city. No tears ever moisten the heart. There's no disappointment in heaven, no envy and strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified, holy. They live in sweet harmony there. My heart is now set on this city, and someday its blessings I'll share. In the bright city, holy white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the White City and soul coming down. My loved ones are gathered in yonder, my friends too are passing away. And soon I shall join the bright number and dwell in eternity's day. We're safe now in glory with Yahshua. The trials and battles are past. They overcome sin and the tempter. Every set their city at last. In that bright city, that white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the White City comes all coming down.